Look, Bez Hashem are bringing Gedalia to Tel Aviv on Sunday. That, for me, I feel would be more his crowd, like, honestly. Even though it was well attended last night. But I personally feel Rav Shlomo is the right shliach for this community. And Gedalia is very good, but not exactly Matil. That's my feeling. Maybe he is, for people who disagree with me, but... You know, I think it's important for everyone to hear different kinds of approaches, and that's why I still personally I listen to Gedalia almost every day. I think he's got a lot of good things to say.
A lot
of strategies. I love the fact that he combines it with the recovery world concepts. That for me is like the primary point where I get a lot out of him, because I feel the recovery world has the most necessary tools for our generation.
Right.
But in terms of the Yiddishkeit stuff, Rav Shlomo and is in a whole nother level, you know?
Right.
You just have to be real that everyone's on different paths. Everyone's got their expertise. And you have to know what you're going for each person. Well, that was one of the things that when I went to Siddiqim, they will always say, to me personally, and probably to others as well, I'm not an expert in this.
Right.
Go to this and this person.
Yeah.
Go to that and that person. Rav Shlomo often wouldn't take responsibility for things of Hinuch, Shalom Bias. His expertise is Avodas Hashem. You want to ask him about learning and Avoda? He's like the Boki Shababoki. Knows every Sefer, every Inyan, every Eitzah. He's spoken to Am Shanova and the biggest Tzaddikim, with Meir Shechter and the Ger Rebbeim and other Gedolim. And he's an expert in that. But if you want to ask him Panasa things, he'll daven for you, but he's not his expertise. And he'll tell you, go speak to this person or that person. And I told him, I started becoming a chassid of the Talmud Rebbe. He was very happy because he said he is the right shliach for you and Shalom Bias, Hinuch, right. All the things I was asking him about. He said he'll be more of a shliach for you.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he was, and he is.
Right.
So you have to know who Gedalia's each person is good for. Huh?
He's a huge Baal Eitzah.
Who?
Gedalia. Like he's like a big Baal Eitzah.
Got a lot of advice. But that's connection to Rabbi Nachman as well. Rabbi Nachman has that sefer, you know, the Eitzah. Rav Sodik wrote it.
I didn't even know about this sefer.
Yeah, Rabbi Nachman's Eitzah is a very important sefer from Rav Sodik. Sodik of Lublin. I don't know if he put his name to it officially, but that's apparently who authored it.
Yeah.
Rav Sodik was a Gaon Atzim, so if he's taking Rabbi Nachman.
Shlomo is starting to work on Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach on
advice.
Shlomo Kalbach
on the Pasha in English.
Kutamaran.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. When did you hear about it?
He mentioned it to me once, like, but he's like just starting it.
I heard he's translating his sefer into English. That's what he's been doing. Is he finished that? You know the Svarim and the Chumash.
I think so. I think he has it in English already.
No, he only has it in Hebrew. I only seen it. I think it's coming out in English soon. So probably finish that. So now the next project is Likutei Maharan. That would be amazing.
That'd be incredible. The first 14% of self-contained universe.
Yeah. So we're learning in
Perik. Right. It's interesting.
Chamesh Asay, chapter 15.
So this is interesting.
This is Kishka's mamish. This.
So here he says, the first 14 chapters of Tanya.
Yeah.
Stand out as a self-contained unit because it is here that the author lays down the core elements of his worldview.
Worldview.
Principles on which the rest of the book is based. A series of questions posed in chapter 1 are finally answered in 13 and 14.
Right, we got the answer, remember, the double lashon and everything.
Also, chapters 1 through 14, it represent Rav Shneur Zalman's response to a problem which was probably shared by most people seeking advice, which is Rebbe, whoever tried to connect to Hashem.
Yeah, see, this whole like sefer is a book of Eitzes, you know?
I want to come close to Hashem. Man, your demons still bother me. It's interesting. In a nutshell, Tanya's answer is, you have both conscious behavior. Thoughts betray Meister, as well as deep emotional core. The Torah and its mitzvahs guide you how to connect to your conscious behavior to God in the most profound way possible at every moment in your life. That's where your focus should be. Your deep core will probably never change. And will continue to taunt you in selfish urges for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it is. It's like he literally, he got right. The point. Chaimela said it good. You're getting taunted by this stuff. Yeah, it's not just... interesting concept. We have to live with this nudnik draying us a cock day after day. Like, who doesn't you know, Gedalia did say an important point last night.
Yeah.
When you're still in a creative space, you know you're okay. The problem is when you get like beaten down by the Nudnik, where you're not creative anymore.
Right.
Where you're just like survival, and that's like, not such a good space.
Like, I have a little home office that I work.
Yeah.
I work like American hours.
Yeah.
It sometimes fries me. And then like I have my guitar there, and like I take it.
And we got a jam one day.
And so I take my guitar out every so often. It's just like every day I play, but
that's important. You got to have your outlets so you can keep the creative.
Sometimes
energy.
I can see when I'm so like,
because you're not going to do
work.
Good business at that point. You're just going to get eggy with people.
Yeah.
You know, you know what eggy means? Like getting angry.
Yeah, I just get angry. Like,
and that's not going to help. And that's just going to push people away.
My guitar is my it shows me where I'm holding emotionally.
Yeah.
If I'm not being able to like play, like come up with like a niggin or something, then I'm not gonna. I don't really record any of my stuff, but I also don't like play songs.
You're creative.
I don't know songs, and I don't have patience to learn songs. Some of them I know.
Maybe it's more creative outlet for you.
Right.
It has to be like getting all specific.
Right. Like, I'm not interested in sitting down and learning some songs I want to. Like, I want to learn some of the real like Chabad Nigunim.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Like the I mean, some of them are easier
the
to
deepest,
play.
Deepest, best Nigunim.
But like, I want to learn how to play the Nigun of Remendel.
Rimanova?
No, Remendel Mezlotchev. Zlotchev.
Oh, that Zlotchev one. Zlotchev a Nigun. I have a video of the Tolna Rebbe, them playing it there with a violin. I'm going to send it to you. It's not such a good quality video, but the song is there. You can hear the song. And all the Hasidim sing it together.
Also, from Aaron's Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Where someone played that song?
Yeah, the violinist, and everyone sang it with him. It was very special.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
So, Zok de Heilige Balatanya.
Should we start from the beginning? Oh, we're not in the beginning. We were ahead.
Yeah, Lopez of Hizabagisa. With such a guy, he's like, he never stops learning. Ella, She'enu Oysa, Shum Muhammad, Ime Yetzer. He doesn't wage any battle against his Leitzer. And this is where we got to. Nanitzcho Oyede O Hashem Me'er on Nefesh Elikush B'mocho Shalot Alev Kano. Yeah, he to vanquish it through the aid of the divine light, illuminate the godly soul in the brain, which was of the heart. Explain the godly soul and divine light illuminate the brain in his answer to the invocation. He who serves him not does not struggle with it. So he is struggling with it. He doesn't vanquish the Eight Torah, but he sholot on it.
Right.
That's the Beinoni. B'nei she'ein yitzor omed l'negdo klal l'batim b'torasa v'adosa. For even if he does not oppose him at all, attempt to turn from his Torah study, ein usach l'okim imor klal. Oh, that's the guy, sorry, that's the Beinoni, because remember there was two levels of Beinoni. There's
right.
A guy that does not serve him at all, because he's got to a point where when he learns and davens, the Eight Torah is quiet. Yeah, imagine that. That's,
right, that's
a
deadbeat.
Huh?
Like a deadbeat.
Yeah, we said that's right. We got to the masmid. Yeah.
Right.
But not like a Heiliger masmid, more like a Nebi masmid.
OCD
the guy with the scarf around his neck in the middle of the summer. Yeah. That kind of masmid. Yeah.
Right.
Kigon shu masmid melimidah b'tivo b'tadoso ayidei hisgoris hamura shchur. This is what we were learning. The last thing.
Right.
The masmid is learning, but he has a stolid temperament, which means literally. He's a bit depressed, you know?
Because of black bile.
I don't really like that concept, yeah?
Black bile?
No, being such a person, it's not a good thing.
Right.
I think I have a tendency to be like that. I have to, like, not. I'm not stolid. I have a big Yetzer Hara, but I do have a Yetzer Hara to get more dark. So
right.
I've got to, like, be careful of that. This definitely is not my problem. He's free of conflict with the sexual desire due to his frigid nature. I'm like the least frigid guy. I didn't even have a moment. You know, actually, maybe in university, I think I had a 6 month, maybe a year time of my life where I went frigid. I like literally had women throwing themselves at me because I was a model in those days. And I used to run clubs. And women were like hardcore interested and came to my room like crazy scenarios. And I told them no.
Wow.
I became like frigid for a year. I needed just the space from that whole energy. It didn't go away, Lagamre, but for that time period, thank God, I felt like Hashem like gave me a window of time where I just didn't have this tithe knocking me out, so I could get more spiritual,
right,
more focused, and eventually ended up in yeshiva that year.
Huh.
I do feel like what the key points were for me to get more spiritual were turning off the TV, well, that would be nowadays disconnecting from the phone, I suppose. And I lost my phone, actually, so I lost a lot of numbers. That there was more of a mobile phone in those days, not
right, like an Nokia.
But that, not having like 600 numbers of all kinds of naughty stuff changed my life a little bit. And another thing what happened was I stopped masturbating or anything sexual. And that's when I got very sensitive to spirituality. My heart started opening up. And I felt like a lot of good shlichim came my way. Like, I was in the schmutziest place, and an ish rabbi turned up there, like, to visit a friend. And it, like, all these kind of stories, like, weird stories where Hashem kept sending me shlichim, chabadniks, like, sent me shlichim so that I'd be able to learn and grow in Yiddishkeit.
That's incredible.
Even a guy from college who came, and he stayed in my flat for a little bit, and he was such bad energy, bad influence on me. And yet, even from him, he told me about his journey in Yiddishkeit, because he did have a time period, and he told me about certain things, and he gave me I remember what it was, like, he gave me certain advice, and it ended up being a key point on my Yiddishkeit journey. Even like a bad guy ended up being a good shliach, because he had a good moment, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I've got so many stories like this. But the point is that, so a person is going through that stolid, frigid kind of stage, or he is that person. With other mundane pleasures, not exert himself to master's eye. He actually lacks. He's not running after, like, Benizman, going on these, I don't know, you're American, I don't know if this went on, but I remember hearing about it a lot. A lot of the rich American young kids with their dad's credit cards would, like, fly off to, like, ski resorts and do crazy things and go, like, with their dad's credit card, just live another life whenever they could get out of yeshiva.
I think it's like that even more so now.
Yeah. So, you know, these guys don't want to do that. They literally just stay at home during Ben Hizman and just read some svarim about, you know, Siddiqim or something. This guy doesn't feel he needs to, and he doesn't contemplate so much the greatness of Hashem. To consciously create a spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem in the mind. Would have gone himself from transgressing any prohibited commandments. So he's not serving Hashem. He's not an Eved Hashem. Why? Not because of the other way of the Sadiq, that he has no Yetzirah. He still has a Nudnik there, but it's quiet. Not because he's killed it or he's rid it, it's just his temperament. You understand that kind of Benini? It's a different kind of Benini. He's a good boy. I feel like I've been around a lot of those kind of guys, and I find it quite hard to relate to them. Like, I appreciate them, these kind of people, because, you know, Kol HaKavod, that they're not doing Averis in this generation, and they're not living a bad life. They're good people, but I don't relate, because they don't have the journey I've had. They don't have the Mohammeds and the... So it's all quite more simple, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Sure.
There's certain simplicity by these people. They're like, their life's been good, you know, in that sense. They have a normal family, and they're like into learning, and they have their whole life laid out for them, and they just go through the motions. I'm sure inside there's going to be stuff that goes on.
There's something. Yeah.
Lishmo shalot ava al mitzvahs lo tasa. Not to guard himself from transgressing any provision commandments. So he's never going to do. But he doesn't need this whole sponeness to get that level of going over Hashem's will. He doesn't need to be spawning to get there. He's already, like, placid enough that he's not going to do it. But Hashem Belibo, he also need not create a love of Hashem in his heart. Davkabo Bekiyah Mitzvahs, to bind himself with fulfilling the positive commandments. Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. And through Torah, which equals all the other commandments. So he doesn't have all those nisyonos in order to generate this Avas Hashem.
It's interesting that he's not focusing on those, like, he's not giving etzes to those people either, because that's a big... A lot of people like that within this.
There is.
There's a lot more people than maybe back then it wasn't like that, but today... I find that that's one of the...
It's sort of encouraged nowadays, in a way.
Today, it's very, very much encouraged. Like, the whole idea of, like, the Daf Yomi is... I think some people... Again, it's a generalization, but I think that it's the same idea. It's like a checking the boxes. Box-checking Judaism.
For me, personally, one of the reasons why I love Daf Yomi, one, I think some of the Magid Shirim are amazing.
Oh, it's amazing, because it creates a Seder in your life.
I have a Seder, and also... I really enjoy connecting to Shas in a very, like, overview.
Right.
I don't have the head right now to be to do Be'in. I need Bikis.
I need like Be'in.
I'd rather do Be'in and Chassidus or something else.
Other I need Be'in and everything. I can never do Bikis. It's like really? My brain doesn't like let go, and then I just get distracted.
So I'm happy to pick like up on the kudas.
Like
Eddie Stefanski, he always says something meaningful every shir that you can learn from. And so I'm just happy to hear that. I used to listen to Moshe Meir Weiss also. He used to say always some really important concepts of Hashkafa or Yerushalayim. I need to, you know, I'm happy to hear the daf together with that. Just to learn it some, read it myself, you're right, probably be a bit of a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not able to insert that kind of deep understanding that these Magachirim have. But anyway, so this guy, he's a placid guy. So he doesn't need to generate the greatness of Hashem for Yiras Hashem or the Avas Hashem so that he can bind himself. He's just doing it anyway. He's going to do the Rotzon Hashem anyway. Now this is where we got to. Ela Dai Lo Bahava Misteris Asher Belev Kolis Yisrael Nikra Oyvei Shemo. The hidden love of Hashem found in his heart of all Jews who are called the lovers of his name. That's to heal him.
Right.
It's sufficient for him to motivate his fulfilling his commandments as he's naturally so inclined. Yeah?
Right. Nikra Havi Hashem.
Yeah. So he's one who is not serving Hashem. That's why he's called the not serving Hashem. Bit of a crap title, so yeah. Excuse my language, but Enenikwa Ovid Klal. He's someone who is not serving God at all. Would you want to be called that? No. Yeah. I mean, some people would say, well, I'm not learning that. That's probably why they don't learn Tanya, these kind of guys.
Right.
They don't relate. For a Jew who must engage in battle with his evil inclination, the love hidden in his heart is not enough. He must arouse it to activate conscious state. For the person who is free of conflict with the evil, this hidden love is sufficient. He just needs a basic level of love. He doesn't need to generate and be Mizbonin and Euro and Abba.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, when I first started learning Chassidus,
He's taking like a.
Yeah.
I would never say this about the Baal HaTanya, yeah. But it's almost like he's taking like a. Shtigl knock at the Misnagdim.
Yeah, he is. Because I was just about to say that. When I came from Yeshiva, I never heard about Avos Hashem.
Right.
Maybe in Musa, a little bit of Yerushim.
Like you want to,
Avos
want to
Hashem
look,
was like look. Not a subject. Like, right. And it doesn't make, like, what are you doing? Right. But I came, to, I changed my life for what? To become a Gemara Yid? That's the epitome of where you're taking me. How, what happens when I'm not able to learn Gemara? Yeah, that was like the yeshiva. I was in the yeshiva where I said to them later on, I said to the Rosh Yeshiva's Rabbonim there, they didn't really like my comments, but I went and said it to them anyway. I said, where's your follow-up? Like, you didn't give us tools for life. You gave us tools how to learn Shas.
Right.
But that Shas is not something everyone's going to be able to access constantly. You're going to have times in your life, you're going to have to work, you have to deal with family issues, you're going to have to deal with the klal. How am I going to deal with all that without the hashkafas achayim?
Right.
Shas, you can get it from Shas. We have to be like the Chazanish to get it from Shas.
Right, or you have to some people can get it, but it just it's not a common thing, unfortunately.
It needs to be a Masorah, Torah Shabbat Peh, it needs to be actually learn with a rav. One of my things, my son's made a mistake a little bit, my second son. He learns everything and he has a very literal mind. So he'll learn something in Shas, or learn something in Swarim,
right.
And I'm like, what are you doing? You need to ask a rav first. You need to find out what the Masorah is. You can't just take things literally.
Right.
So I catch him on this all the time. And I say, no, ask your rabbi. Check it out, work it out. There's different opinions, different days. It's not so simple. You just read something and do it.
Right.
Imagine
he's you're saying he's a little bit.
It's very literal. It's very literal. So yeah. Certain heads, certain different kinds of minds. His mind's very literal. So I'm always trying to help him to not be so literal. And if he is being literal, go find out what the shot is. Don't just be subject on yourself and the swarm. Dialogue, but have a mysterious Ella M. Kane wrote to Lumo Jotim in a Gilu. So
I hear now he says here a little Knitch.
Yeah, go on.
Our discussion so far is one who does, right? One who is not an Oyvin Hashem, but has centered around the Beinoni, who's right, the Yetzirah never troubled him. Now we turn to a Beinoni,
yeah,
who has a bothersome Yetzirah. but has regulated through disciplined practice so it doesn't bother him.
Right.
Worshipping God has now become a second nature.
Okay. But that's not what we're... That's not us, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's good to know about this because it shows you that you can sort of be a little bit more understanding when you meet different kinds of Jews who don't need what you need. Like what you said, like in the Shia, there's a lot of people who don't feel that way.
Right.
They were like totally satisfied. They went home, the Shia came last night for
right,
them.
Right.
And that, he did the job for them.
Right.
But that's because they're different kinds of souls, and some are, I don't know, maybe they're less deep, or they've gone through less yisurim, or whatever it is, yeah?
Right.
They don't have this deeper need for like this deeper panemius, like all that you were asking about, yeah?
I hope I didn't insult him. Do you think I insulted him?
No. I mean, I can ask him, I'm in touch with him, like we just spoke this morning. I can ask him, but I don't know.
I was more. I was really
my sense
of
the
it.
Situation was he didn't.
Because his answer wasn't even like.
No, it was more like a breath of kind of Rabbi Nachman of Shalom Morish answer. Amunah, amunah, amunah.
Right.
Last aid, so. Don't get into. Don't take me to your place. I'm just gonna be mommy.
Right. I was hoping. I was trying to like dial it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, like maybe it would be like You know, I was hoping to like kind of like dial it in and like get him, not to knock him.
But you have to understand that he's very dovish to that Derek of Breslov.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, it's not escapist, but it is very strong. In the Inyan of Amunah. He's even said to me a few times when I've come to him in certain situations, he said, you're lacking in Amunah. And I would say, like, chutzpah, you can't tell me I'm lacking Amunah. You don't know what's going on in my heart.
Right.
Maybe I'm communicating, I'm going through something difficult right now. It doesn't mean that I'm lacking Amunah. Like, who says it's always Amunah? Amunah can't be everything. There's other nakudas, but I didn't get into, I never used to fight with him about this kind of stuff because I understand it's a certain path. It is a path, and people live by it and they're successful with it.
Right.
But you just have to know once again, like that's why we're sitting here the next day learning Tanya, not about Amunah.
Right.
We're learning about Avas, Nisteris, like deeper things. We're getting into the kishkas of our nefesh, how it works. Kiahavazu Misteris, Ainu Puloso, Vadasa Clout. But this latent love is not of his making or achievement by any means. Elahi Shuasenu, Mavasenu, Lakla Yisrael, Kamashkati. So he's already giving you a point that he got this anyway, as an inheritance from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, from our Avos Kedoshim. We got this Avos Nisteris. We didn't work for it. It's put into every yid.
Uh-huh.
So that's a little bit of a, as you're saying, a canuck against these kind of guys, these masmidim.
Right.
Because you didn't really, you know, where's you're not really Avod Hashem. You're just sort of naturally Avod Hashem. See me, you look like an Avod Hashem.
Right.
But you're not doing the real inner struggle of Avoda, of working and because you're just working off what you got as a Yerusha. And literally, a lot of these guys are. Because how are they paying for their lifestyle? Their fathers, the old money.
Right.
A lot of these people are funding that. So what happens when that runs out? They don't know what to do. Because they've never fought for anything. Everything was just given to them, including their bonus of Shem.
Right, that's why, I mean, the Baal Tanya is really, right now, he's basically talking to the Misnagdim head on and saying, like, you guys are all massive Talmidei Chachamim, but most of you probably, or all of you, are Talmidei Chachamim because your father was a Talmidei Chachamim.
Yeah.
Or wealthy and was able to get you
pay for the
Rebbe to, because there was no yeshivas then. It was either like you were smart and you sat and learned, which even that intellect is a gift from Hashem.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like someone would be like, I'm very smart and sit and learn, and it's like it's a chiddush, right? Like this is a Moshe Weinberger. I could tell you it was like funny, like Moshe, like even today in yeshivas, even most yeshivas today, that's their focus, is like learn this, that, like they award intelligence, and it's like intelligence is not like I remember, like I'm going all the days, I remember when I was in yeshiva, like in the brisk yeshivas, if someone calls you a masmid, that's an insult. It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Because a real compliment is if they call you a nilo.
It's like a low level. You have to work so hard.
Like you have to work so hard to get this. Like, you know, Yenim over there, he's...
My Rebbe, when he calls me a lilui, which he does all the time, he calls me a genius in front of my wife, in front of the community. I'd walk into like a meeting, the ilui, the English ilui's door. And I'd be like, oh no, that's a chit. That's him saying, like, yeah, but so what?
Right.
Great, you're a genius, but you're Shalom Bias as Shem Yazar. He knows what's going on. Like, you've got a lot of work on you. I mean, there's a lot to work on. So you've got a genius. How do you bring it into your life, you know?
So that's how it is right there. So what was I going to say? So right, so with that, the focus is... Right, and so then it's a chiddush that, like, or Moshe Weinberger in this yeshiva, I remember it was my son's, like, Gemara, Haskalas Gemara, yeah. So they had the whole grade there, hundreds of parents, and Weinberger, like, and the yeshiva they've had, you know, I don't know if you remember, like, a couple of years ago, he put out, like, an article. Not exactly.
Was it Mishpacha? That was a whole labor that went back and forth a few issues. I remember that.
And so he got up and spoke by the scholar, but the scholar's Gemara, this and that. And he got up there and he was like, I guess they let him speak because, like, they had to. He was there.
Every so on, there's these kind of things where he can go speak. Like in England, he does it as well. And he's such a chiddush to the olam now.
Right, such a chiddush.
Because he's talking about real issues, and they're like, right, wait a minute, you know, what's going on? Is this about from America? What's he talking about?
And so
he comes, wakes them all up.
It was amazing.
I think they've got used to it by now, because I think it comes every year, but...
He's next level. So he got up and he spoke, and what did he say? I still remember. Yeah. I don't know if everyone paid attention, if the kids really understood what he was saying, but he was like guys, accused of talking to the kids, he was like, kids, like, you guys are about to open up a Gemara. The Gemara was written by the Amoraim, or Shem Vayechai, but, like, these Amoraim, these Tanoim, but, like, these, the people...
They never heard it in that way.
He's like, and they're going to feel the pressure.
The Siddiqui,
you're going to feel the pressure to understand it. He's like, I mean, you're not going to understand it. He's like, and all you need to do is when you read the words Amar Rava, Amar Abaya, he's like, all you need to say to Hashem is like, how lucky am I that I can say the words Amar Rava, Amar Abaya. You're talking the words that these people spoke, and you can connect to the words Amar Rava. What do you want to say? Who's Rava? And, like, he basically, like, you know, and they were like, we're getting a little and a shtang and a horror and a this and that.
I'll tell you a story. Like, just, very similar.
You know, just don't have to break your head.
I met Rav Simaya's father a few times.
Yeah.
His name's Moshe Chaim Zilberger. I met him, and he's a guy in a Torah, like a big Rosh Hashiva in America.
Right.
His father was a big Rav, and all the way back, I saw a Rabbanim. So I went and spoke to him. I told him, he said, what are you learning? I'm saying, well, at that point I was learning a Sechtas Nedarim with the run. I had a Briska guy, who was Mamash Tam Kochim, very close with Simcha, his actual nephew, I think. Simcha, what's the family? Simcha Shor. Very close to that whole family, you know, Shore family. Yeah.
So he
was,
New York.
So he came in this ish, and I was learning with this guy, and I said it was Geschmack, learning with Ran. He said, oh, Ashrecha, and he starts doing a dance. And I'm like, what? He said, every day you should take your Gemara. I do it every day. I don't care who's there, who looks at me, who laughs. I take my Masech and I do a dance to be able to have the schuss to learn with a Rishon and the Pshat of the Shas. And he says he does a dance around the base Midrash. So then he understand how Rav Simaya had a father like this. Like, he didn't just come out of nowhere. Yeah. So the Abbas of Torah and the Simchas of Chaim, that these Chassidish and Rosh Hashivas, you know, it's not just
it's a chiddush.
Yeah. Kein af mi she'enu matmid b'limidah. Oh, sorry, there was a little shtickle before. Ki havazu misteres enu. Oh yeah, we read this already. Next, kein af mi she'enu matmid b'limidah b'tuvo. So to he who is not inherently studious, rak shahargo atzma l'limud v'asmada gadola v'nasa hergo lo tevasheni. So this is now we're starting to get to the Ovid Hashem. So the guy who's not naturally studious, he'd rather go sit and daydream. Yeah. That dude, he's habitualized himself. He's made himself new habits of being a masmid. And diligence has now become tevasheni, which is second nature to him. The dialogue bahava misterezu, for him too, the hidden love is now sufficient. Unless he wishes to study more than he does. And that's when we get to this 101.
Right.
Extra push. That was the 101 from the, when we first started this parak. That extra push is right. Where then it's again he has to now be misboning on Hashem right. And work on his Yiras Hashem. Then he has to push himself through the inner struggle, and then he becomes an Ovid Hashem those moments.
Right. This is there. It says that many observant Jews share this kind of experience of one way or another. For example, if you keep kosher, you might have reached the point where you're not tempted to be not kosher.
And you just go to all the heksherim on the
right. But it's not because you transformed your inside. It's more that like you lifestyle. Basically eliminated the HR.
It's a lifestyle. It's become a whole lifestyle now.
Yeah,
it's not with mysterious nefesh like it was when they first came to America or right. England. It's a lifestyle. When Eretz Yisrael, we first moved here, made Aliyah back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and it was a swamp and it was this third world country. It was mysterious nefesh. Now you come here and you can live the same life. Lifestyle you had in New York. You live the same life in New York.
More pretty options, much. You know? It's like you can go anywhere in this country on vacation and there's kosher food.
Yeah. Now, there are obviously levels and all that stuff. But
right, it's right. There's the green machmir, this, you can.
And you still have to be careful because there are places in Israel which are not kosher, unfortunately.
I was in Tel Aviv yesterday because we went to the Masrata team. Yeah. And it's like, it's crazy, you have to like ask people, like, is this kosher?
Yeah, there are kosher places, and there are more and more of them now. Yeah. For example, I'm going to go to the pier on Sunday, and I know there's a few good kosher places. There's Lechem Basa, which is a good kosher place.
Or Tel Aviv.
Yeah, there's, I think the Aroma there is kosher. There's a few like brands, businesses that are kosher.
We went to this dairy place that was kosher.
Yeah, there's a bunch more than there was. I remember going 20 something years ago, and you had to work hard to find that. There was like two baby places. You had to really look for it. Or is right, Rabbanut, but you know, you're not so sure. You know,
right, Rabbanut's a tricky one.
So yeah, so the mysterious nefesh is no longer there so much in a lot of areas because you just become a lifestyle. Even this guy originally did push himself, but he's now got used to pushing. He did that push already. So what's the point of the Balatanya is? You should constantly push, constantly aim for that 101 times, the chazorah, that extra one. Vizeh, yuvo, mashikosav, gemar, the ovid elakim, hainu misha shonep, proko mea parmin ve'echad. Lo avdu hainu misha shonep, proko mea parmin levad. And I'm very happy that it's the 101, because that's my son's unit, and it's also, when we get panasa, you get 101. So the idea that he has to push himself, Revere studies that extra one, because if he only learns that 100 times, he is the guy who does not serve Hashem.
Right.
He's the guy we said before, the placid, you know, the whatever the word, the masmid, who'd already reached that as a lifestyle, and he's not doing that extra push. To really do that extra push, that's the key of being over Hashem. It's like, I mean, I was like six since I think Purim, yeah, and I've been pushing myself to carry on my schedule like normal, and it's hard. It's been hard to get out. Yeah. Normal things became hard. So it's really what you should say when those moments happen. That's when you're showing Hashem your real ruts and you're working on yourself. Right. When you feel great and you get up and you just jump out of bed into the davening and everything else, like that's you're not really over Hashem that. It's just now lifestyle going on. Unless you push yourself within that experience to be over Hashem.
Right, right.
The point is, it's about ruts and it's about really wanting over Hashem and constantly pushing yourself to go to the next level. Not saying I'm okay. I'm all good. It's not all good. You got what to do. There's the Yetzirah still. There's Mashiach didn't come. Right. There's a lot of Yidden don't know anything about Yiddishkeit. There's a lot to do. Hainam Shum B'Yemeim Hayor Hargalius Lashanas Kol Perik Meir Pamim. This is because in those Talmudic days it was customary to review each lesson 101 times. So it brings us 101 concept because that was how it was back then. And that is someone who would gain him the appellation of serving Hashem. Because the 101, the extra one is the push. K'da'esa chasam b'gamara mishol mishuk shol chamarim. The Talmud Israel is the analogy of the market of the donkey drivers. Shadiskayam l'esa parasei b'zuzay. V'lachad esa parasei basrei zuzay. It makes you think of that agada when you think of basrei zuzay. V'nei shehud yosa meragalusam. The drivers would charge one zuz for 10 parasei. But Damadi, two zuz for 11 parsis. That's what I was thinking about, because I have a consultancy fee. Right. And if you're going to make me do an extra half an hour, really I should like, not just, I should like double it, yeah? But I didn't do it. But there is a point here, because that extra push of taking a donkey, that extra pass of more than you're regaled to, that is right. Double the amount of money, not just another 10%. Say it's an extra, it's here it's 10 zuz and 11 zuz. for driving. No, he wants double that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he wants double. He wants 20 zuz or 2 zuz in this case. So he goes from one. He doesn't get the 10% addition. He adds on 100% for that extra mile, parsi or whatever it is. Chen zoyz hapam hameya ve'achas hayisera ala regilis shahogo menorav shakulo keneged kulam. You see that extra push that has been accustomed since the chart is equivalent to all the previous 100 revisions before. So that extra little push is equivalent to everything you've done before, because it's now a new level. It's right. A new step. It's building new mapechas, as they say in Yiddishkeit. You just made new opportunities in your mind, in your heart, new openings, and that is the hard work. That's now changing yourself. Changing yourself. Torah is meant to change you. Davening is meant to change you. Just to learn for the sake of, you know, being yotzi is not real tefillah, not real avodas Hashem. In fact, its quality passes him in greater strength and power. So it's only this one extra vision which helps students be called those who serve in Hashem. That extra pushes the whole thing.
It says here a note from the Degamach and Ephraim.
Chaim Miller bringing it, yeah?
Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov said when you do 101, you bring the Aleph, the one, into your studies.
Oh, nice. Because Kuf is 100 and right, one is the X is Aleph.
The master Alufo.
Alufo. Oh, you bring a Shem.
Of the world, and it becomes a study for the sake of Shemayim.
Oh, so that proves it's the Shema as well, because it's that extra push. Alufo Sha'odin.
Ibne Shakadilis.
Should we ask Rabbi? Can we ask you a question on this? Did you ever?
I forgot your name.
Eli Sharp.
So we want to. Do you have a son?
Aaron.
Aaron. He was sitting here at Tanis Esther.
Oh yeah.
He was so sweet. Yeah. I went over to learn with him.
I know. Yeah.
So you guys just made Aliyah this.
Yeah, we just came here.
It's a good boy, Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron's like.
Fantastic. He was just sitting there learning by himself.
I know.
First, I just asked him who he was. He's like, great. Aaron Sharp. Then he was still there 20 minutes later. So did you want to learn together?
No.
Why not? So we learned a little bit about her.
I know. He's a very interesting kid. He's beautiful.
Like
read through. Like, I can't wait for him to learn Hebrew better. Like just to learn on the inside, because he like just like has such a thirst. You know.
We'll get there.
I'll get there. Yeah. Especially here in the school system.
I know.
So this is the question. It's connected to that. The idea of pushing yourself that extra level, that 101th time, Chazara. So is that discussed in your life experience in YU or in the world? I know the Baal HaTanya has his Nakuda, but that's then he becomes an Eved Hashem, the din of Eved Hashem, and it's connected all the everything he's been doing till then. That extra one is. So what does it say? Does the Shiva world talk about this push?
I don't know the Shiva world. I think.
Or your own experience either.
I think I heard this quoted from Yisrael Salanter, but not such a different word from Baal HaTanya. To learn something 100 times means like every time you're gaining something from it. But after 100 times, obviously it's not as precise 100. Yeah. After 100 times, you feel like you know it all, and you feel like you just want to move on. You're totally bored of the subject matter.
Yeah.
If you have no desire to learn it, and you don't feel like you're going to gain from it, and you do it anyway, that means it's totally the same shmai.
Okay, so this lishmai inyan connects.
Right.
And the Baal Shem Tov says it brings the aleph to the kuf, and the aleph is aluf, the shem.
Okay.
So it proves that you're doing the shma.
Right.
Yeah. Same kind of Nakuda.
Same kind of Nakuda.
Using
a different language.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Okay, so they see the world's meat when it comes down to it. That's why he also had a very big literature Robin with David, what was his name? David Leibovitz or something? He had he always quotes him. His one of his main rebbeim wasn't a chassid.
Oh, right. It's true. Yes.
I forgot his name. David something. But he always quotes him, and he was very into Musa. So that's, remember, he had for many years. He used to learn Yerucham Yevavitz. He used to learn Yisrael Salanter Musa. I remember his Musa shirim. They were amazing.
Yeah.
It wasn't just chassidus. And his point was that you get the same awe from Musa as well.
Yeah, it all depends on the teacher. He could, give you Gemara and you'll be blown out of your kelim.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta get going.
Amazing. So we should be zocher to. We'll finish off the parak tomorrow. thank you so much for the drink.
I hope it helps.
It does help. And we should really be zoked to be Ovid Hashem. Amen. Push ourselves and have the koch to do it. Koch
amoch. All right, I'll see you later.
And,
hopefully I didn't insult her.
No, you're good, you're good, you're good. Do you want me to ask him for you?
Nah, it's okay.
I don't think he got it.
Then if you ask him,
yeah, it's better than not to speak.
Wait a second.
He'll go back. Oh, maybe he did insult me.